This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Paul Smith joining us this week on the Paracast, talking about the possible ramifications, beginning with a UFO crash back in 1941 in Missouri. Fascinating tale. True or not, we don't know. Will somebody broadcast the truth? Will anybody even be alive at this point, unless they're very old, to tell a tale of what might have happened? Certainly there's no possible evidence now of anything that happened then. Think about it. At least something to look at. Do you at all, Paul, favor any other possible crashes? We have Roswell, of course, with different opinions. We have this one. Any others that you might be interested in?
A crash, not too much. I'm interested more in the research on Dwight Eisenhower, who in the early 40s was a very obscure colonel, I think, at Washington State. I don't think he had anything to do with the Cape Girardeau incident, and he might have known of the Roswell incident, whether it was a weather balloon or not, since he had become a top-notch, very famous, beloved general, thanks to his war leadership in Europe in the mid-40s. As far as the Eisenhower case goes, that was more about a landing and actual face-to-face contact. So UFO crashes, I guess not.
I was just curious real quick before we get away from the Cape Girardeau. Do you know, had there been any previous reports of UFOs or strange aircraft in the Cape Girardeau area, either prior or just after the crash? Because I know that about 6 months later, you had the whole L.A. incident.
Right. Linda L. Wallace did some fine research in southeast Missouri. That's where Cape Girardeau is, my hometown, on the banks of the Mississippi River. There were a number of people that came forward and saw. They said that they saw daylight disks or orbs or lights in the sky at night. I talked to a few people who said they saw something as of like 10 years ago flying over the farm areas that would have been very near the crash site. One was like a glowing orb of light that was headed away from their farm. She said, we sat on the front porch and watched this weird thing headed towards the Cape Girardeau airport. It was just a ball of light, nothing around to support it, very quiet. And I've heard a few other of these stories. I've never seen a UFO myself. I should make that clear. I have no particular sighting to pass along. So when people see these things in the 40s, I think they have real credence. When they see it now, well, what about drones and unmanned aircraft and helicopters and blimps and airplanes and honest mistaken identities that they claim could be a UFO or could be man-made? We just don't know. And then some people whip out their cell phone. We got plenty of images of that. But again, you can use Photoshop or some sort of high-tech program to hoax something, but many of them seem to have groups of people standing around pointing at the sky like, oh, look at that, and amongst great excitement. And you see plenty of these images showing up on the Travel Channel in particular.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, now you've got a rough idea of where this crash occurred. Do you know exactly where it happened? And I mean, besides the incident where he said that the guy said his family used to own the farm. Has anybody ever tried to go out to this location with metal detectors and, you know, try to find something?
People have come to me and asked, where's the farm site? I want to use a metal detector. And I don't have the exact pinpoint, but I've got a pretty fair idea. But this is all someone's private property and their business. It's a farm. They don't want a bunch of strangers showing up day and night, I'm sure, with shovels or camping out or leaving their waste behind. There's no fencing around this sort of thing. And what's worse, when you go looking, as I've done a little, there's quite a supply of rattlesnakes and copperheads and other creatures out there in the dark or under rocks and crevices that feed on squirrels, chipmunks, groundhogs, moles, and things that chew on crops. So it's pretty dangerous. One person said, you better have some pretty thick boots if you're going to be walking around here, buddy. I did not, and that's another reason why I think I'll leave it to someone else to come up with a site, and I don't want to get sued also if someone says, this is my farm and you've disrupted our way of life. I'll see you in court, buddy. Well, I don't want to pinpoint that. I don't want to be in trouble.
Yeah, and I mean, down around in that area, too, when you say farm, I mean, you're not just talking about a couple of acres. You're talking about miles.
Right.
Land.
It's scary what people could do. You start busloads of tourists from all over the world and people driving onto your land, showing up, knocking on your door. Show us the aliens, man. Where's that spaceship? A day and night. And you can't fence it and you can't protect it. So it would be a nightmare for the property owners today.
That's when you get a couple of bulls and put them out in the field.
Yeah, bulldogs.
Yeah, that'll work too.
In Roswell, you have the advantage of a big open desert where people probably go, and I've seen some stories on like History Channel and Travel Channel, where they go and they search around with metal detectors and maybe even more than shovels, high-tech machinery. You just can't do that without attracting a lot of attention and trouble if you tried that in a farm field in Cape Girardeau.
To summarize here, because I want to get into the presidential UFO stuff and maybe get a hint of this next book that you're working on, and that is, where can we take a case like this right now? It's just anecdotal. We have no real evidence except what people remember from what they might have seen and whom they talked to, that kind of thing.
It's a frustrating dead end. There is no UFO museum or T-shirts you can buy or site that you can be taken to and shown, this is where it happened in Cape Girardeau. There's a number of people like, huh? What crash? But most people that I talked to said, yeah, I heard a little something about that somewhere from my parents, grandparents, or they saw something on television or in a newspaper referencing Cape Girardeau. But it's just come to a halt because no one seems to produce any diary, notebook, a photograph, or a piece of the debris they smuggled out, or this elderly farmer and his bag of unbendable, uncuttable metal shards. So we're at a standstill. The case is kind of ground down to a halt till somebody leaks something.
Well, at least it's a fascinating tale, and we all look forward to seeing if there's anything else about it. Let's now get into something more political. I don't mean liberal, conservative, that kind of thing. I mean, we mentioned Grant Cameron earlier because he has looked into what presidents might have known about UFOs. And you've got this book called President Eisenhower's Close Encounters. Let me ask you there, where did you get the idea to write this book, and why do you think there's something significant to it?
Well, when I first heard the story back in the 1980s, it was talked about because it came out in a National Enquirer article that was picked up by some newspapers in North America. I thought, oh, come on, the president didn't meet with aliens. This is just exploitation. But a key part of the article mentioned a test pilot who had come forward. He wanted to do so anonymously so he could keep his pension and his health care. And he said, I was one of six men at this meeting, and the story is true. Eisenhower did go to Edwards Air Force Base late one night, and he met with these landed human-like aliens, and they spoke in English, knew about our culture, and they knew about our atomic test program, testing bombs, setting them off in our atmosphere, in the ground, and in the ocean, and they were aghast at what we were doing to planet Earth. This pilot claimed that he was brought in for his technical expertise and that the aliens put on a friendly air show right there in front of Eisenhower. And he wanted this story out before the test pilot said, I pass away because I happen to know everyone from that meeting is now dead. So there's that. It's tough to, again, research and pin down. There are some documents I can talk about in a little bit. But Eisenhower really was, according to his presidential schedule, out in Palm Springs. He flew 2,700 miles away from Washington just to play some golf, we're supposed to believe. There's a couple of gaps in his schedule where he could well have gone to Edwards Air Force Base and had this not recorded in his daily diary, his schedule of events. If it really was of an extraterrestrial nature, you're not going to print that up or allow your secretary to do so. And so the story is feasible from that standpoint.
Let us break here. We've got more to come with Paul, Gene, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Exploring the providence of theories about what presidents might have known about UFOs, particularly President Eisenhower. By the way, we forget President Eisenhower was a Republican and was responsible for shepherding the interstate highway system, which they say now is liberal. Such confusing times. Paul, go on, please.
There's two researchers, one you mentioned, Grant Cameron, who's looked into this a little bit because he just loves stories of presidents and UFOs. And there's another one, Dr. Michael Sala, and he dug up some stories, including a man who told his wife that he worked at the Pentagon and saw images and some top secret files of Eisenhower meeting with human-like aliens at an airbase. According to the test pilot, they looked very much like us, only slightly different, slightly misshapen. I call them our cousins who maybe arrive for a little private family reunion. And I've seen lately on the Internet stories of scientists now, today, cosmologists and people who study the known galaxies and hypothesize in biophysics that there are probably human races evolving on other planets. And that's basically what was reported coming down to meet Eisenhower in February 19th, 1954, that they were just slightly different, maybe different set, far set eyes, a different skin tone, maybe slightly larger chests or lungs for breathing their home planet atmosphere, and that they were very friendly and felt that it was safe for Eisenhower to come out and meet them. And he did. And then after the meeting, according to the test pilot, Eisenhower swore everyone to secrecy. And they held that for like 30 years almost. That's the claim. And that's a big chunk of the story. We have to hope that it's true. I know Timothy Green Beckley looked into it and even flew to London, England, and talked to Lord Clancarty, who was aware of the story and wrote about it himself. There's another factor involved with some documents that were leaked in 2017 that were briefing documents for the new president, George H.W. Bush, in January of 1989. And in it, it mentions Eisenhower did meet with some friendly aliens and came to an agreement to basically keep their visits here secret. There are bits and pieces and clues to this story all over the map, and I collected them in my book. And I'm glad it's gotten a positive response. It's now on out on audio from Tantor.com. And I'm talking to a Travel Channel producer, and my agent is. We'll see if we can get this more on the big screen as we go forward into 2022.
One of the interesting aspects of this story is that when Eisenhower, and this is well documented, I mean, you know, you can go and look up the newspapers, you know, at the time that Eisenhower disappeared for a number of hours, and could it be located? And then later, I guess, his press liaison said that he had a toothache and had to get emergency dental work, which was the explanation for his mysterious disappearance.
That's right. For many years, this story has gone around, and it might be the night he disappeared, but I feel pretty strongly it was the night before that. Friday night, the 19th, he took off from this Smoke Tree Ranch in Palm Springs, supposedly on a dental emergency. Well, I spoke to someone from Palm Springs who said they had a friend who was at that dinner that night with Eisenhower, and he was chewing on a duck leg, and he bit into some buckshot or grapeshot. Metal bits is still in the meat. And he said, "What kind of a sportsman uses grapeshot? Now I've damaged one of my teeth, and it really hurts." So they immediately called a dentist, and the dentist didn't believe the call. He said, "Oh, yeah, right, the president needs me," and he hung up and went back to what he was doing. And they kept calling, and they finally got this guy roused up that they were serious, according to the eyewitness, that President Eisenhower really did have a damaged tooth and went to the dentist, who finally got his act together, put his clothes on, went over to his office and treated him that night. So it's possible that was the cover story, but I really think it was the night before. President Eisenhower just needed the cover of darkness. On Friday night, the 19th, there was a big party for the media in a hotel in Palm Springs. And this was set up by a good friend of Eisenhower who was his co-host at the ranch. And I think this was a deliberate plan to give Eisenhower the cover to sneak out at night without the media following him around. Keep the reporters intoxicated and happy at this hotel. And Eisenhower, I think, pulled it off successfully.
Now, we have to understand here, we're talking about the 1950s. These days, I don't see how that could possibly happen. But back then, we didn't have the widespread media we do today. We didn't have the cell phone cameras. We didn't have anything like that. So at least that raises a possibility of authenticity, if nothing else.
Right. And there's a reporter, Christopher, I forget his last name. He works in Italy, in Rome, Italy. Said he had a source in the Vatican who said Eisenhower really did go meet with aliens, that there's actual film footage of this. Some of it's in black and white. Some of it is in color. The Vatican source says we were informed of this by a source who was the West Coast Archbishop at the time in America. When he found out about all of this, the Archbishop actually visited Edwards Air Base for himself. He flew all the way to Rome, Italy, to speak to the Pope about it. It's a pretty wild-sounding story again, but allegedly there's film footage. I've heard this in another source that some of the footage ends abruptly because the aliens' ship technology clashed with the newsreel camera and broke it during the footage being captured. This has never surfaced. It was filmed this way for a modern independent film by Christopher Munch called The 11th Green. Recently came out in the last couple of years. I recommend that. It's gotten some good reviews. I had nothing to do with this movie, just by coincidence. It involves an actor pretending to be President Eisenhower in his retirement, thinking back to this time where he met aliens at night and pulled off this secret meeting without the press finding out, and that film cameras were there recording it. So there's that to consider.
How did Eisenhower know that this was going to happen? Have there been any stories that have surfaced that, what happened before this that directed everybody to this meeting?
That's a very good question. I think it was prearranged. Supposedly, the rumors are, and they're pretty sketchy, I'll admit, on this aspect of the story, that the military was involved in some secret high-frequency radio communication and did make contact with aliens and went back and forth with their messages and felt that these guys appear to be quite friendly. They're asking for a meeting with Eisenhower, and this went on in the first year or so of the Eisenhower administration. He was inaugurated in January of 53, and by February of 54, they felt it was a go, that they could trust these creatures, these visitors, highly intelligent, through possibly high-frequency radio waves and binary code, set up this meeting place. It was late at night on a runway near an open airplane hangar at Edwards, and that President Eisenhower had cameras there ready to record this incident. Possibly, in case anything went wrong, then he would have footage to show people that this is what happened. But the story was reported by Frank Edwards, a Mutual Broadcasting System reporter, like a month or two later. Shortly after that, he was fired from his job. He was a very famous broadcaster at the time, and he apparently did pass along these stories going around that Eisenhower met with some friendly beings.
Paul, Gene, and Tim, you're in
the Pentecost.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
GCN's policy is open forum, avoiding censorship. Defense costs for words spoken outside of our control supersede the ability to deliver voices to this important talk platform. The First Amendment is the foundation of our core values. Cancel culture is silencing voices regardless of perspective. Freedom to speak is in the balance. Support the legitimacy of speech itself. Consider donating to SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Biden warned Russian President Vladimir Putin on a phone call of swift and severe costs if Russia escalates tensions by invading Ukraine. According to the White House, Biden also said that a further Russian invasion of Ukraine would produce widespread human suffering and diminish Russia's standing. Russia continues military exercises on the border with Ukraine with almost 100,000 troops. Also, Secretary of State Antony Blinken spoke on the phone with Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov. Officials are warning U.S. Embassy personnel to evacuate from the capital of Ukraine. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan.
We want to be crystal clear on this point. Any American in Ukraine should leave as soon as possible, and in any event, in the next 24 to 48 hours.
This is USA Radio News. The Supreme Court has once again ruled against an attempt to block vaccine mandates.
The nation's highest court rejecting a request from a group of New York City public school teachers who were hoping the court would block the city's vaccine mandate. Those teachers making the request after not receiving a religious exemption. Justice Sonia Sotomayor rejected that request with no explanation, but she also rejected an earlier challenge to the mandate, the appeal claiming the vaccine mandate violates religious freedom. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The man accused of killing six people and injuring dozens more after driving his vehicle through a Christmas parade in Waukesha, Wisconsin, pleaded not guilty to his charges on Friday. An attorney for Daryl Brooks Jr., 39, entered the pleas on 77 charges, which include six counts of homicide. The attorneys also asked that the jury be sequestered for the duration of the trial. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, Peter Beccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
This is Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
You mentioned Frank Edwards, Paul Blake Smith. Now, I remember Frank Edwards because I was once placed in an audience when Frank Edwards was a guest on a TV show, and I had to ask a question. Then after the show ended, I started a conversation with him. I think we even exchanged letters, not emails, physical letters. He died soon thereafter, so I didn't get a chance to know him very well. But he had such books out as Flying Saucer, Serious Business. Frank Edwards.
That's very cool that you got to meet him. I think he died suddenly, like at a UFO convention or something in 1967. Does that sound right?
It's possible. Now you know how old I am here. But let me just take a look. As we're talking about Frank Edwards, of course, they've got several different Frank Edwards here, so I have to get the real one here. Frank Edwards, writer and broadcaster. He died June 23rd, the day before the UFO anniversary in 1967. That means he died one day before the 20th anniversary of the modern UFO era. How strange.
Yeah. I don't know if that was a natural death or not. I guess we'll never know. But apparently he did hear the rumors and the stories and may well have spoken of it on the air about Eisenhower. And another source wrote about it in Valor magazine in October of 54. It came out that Eisenhower visited the airbase. I know the story in general, a president came out and met with aliens. There's probably a lot of immediate skepticism by people. And so that kept the story also from being embraced and expanded or developed, that people are maybe cynical. What's wrong with meeting friendly human-like beings and then keeping it hushed up? There was a couple other sources. I put them in my book. There's another source, another UFO author named Art Campbell, who said he felt it happen, and that Eisenhower returned to another meeting in New Mexico at an airbase. I think it was Holloman at that time, and may well have had another contact. And so I went to contact Art Campbell, and he had passed away, too.
Just dumb luck.
It's a shame that this happened so frustratingly long ago, Cape Girardeau in the 40s, Eisenhower in the 50s, that so much time has passed. People were sworn to secrecy and have then been passed away. Their children are passed away. And so many possible leads have died out, and it makes it tough to get any kind of corroboration or proof. It's enticing and exciting, but as I put in my book, that may not have been the first UFO sighting by Eisenhower. There was a source who wrote in the New York newspaper in 1997 that he was with Eisenhower, and they saw a circular craft at that time.
Which New York newspaper?
I'm trying to think. It's not the most reputable if it was the Post. I think it may have been the Post.
Well, the Post and the Daily News are the less reputable members of the press, especially the Post.
That was a man who said he was in the service aboard the USS Franklin Roosevelt, off the coast of France in early 1952, and there was a big storm going on, and the ship was probably rocking a little bit, even though it was an enormous ship. It had nuclear weapons on board. It was a highly prized American warship. Eisenhower was a retired general at the time, but Truman called him out to do an inspection of American bases and troops in Europe. They were worried about communist infiltration at that time. So it does hang together that Eisenhower was there inspecting things. Eisenhower came up on deck in the middle of the night. He couldn't sleep, asked for a cup of coffee, and while we were standing around talking to him on the helm of the ship, they looked out the window, and here's this circular craft. It hung for at least 10 or 15 minutes, I think he said. It was not a brief sighting at all. And they were all amazed, of course, and they stood there probably slack-jawed staring at this silver saucer. And then it took off abruptly into the sky. Eisenhower said, well, I'll look into this, man. Keep it under your hats for now. And the man said, we never heard back from Eisenhower. So that's one man's claim. It seems like it's at least possible this happened. I don't know of any corroborating evidence on this one either.
Now, we assume here, I recall Eisenhower has a library of his papers, but we wouldn't expect that anything of this nature would be stored there.
Right. We can't be that naive. They would be certainly labeled top secret or above top secret, as some people say, or cosmic top secret. You wouldn't allow this for the public or even historians to flip through. So that makes things even tougher. I've been to the Eisenhower Library and his family home in Abilene, Kansas. Nice place. But I was young at the time, and I wasn't flipping through their files. But again, would they really put this information there for anyone to find?
Yes, we understand. By the way, let's just go back a little bit before we explore the implications of this. What got you interested in chasing after flying saucers?
I think everyone questions at one point in their life, why am I here? Are we alone in the universe? Are we being visited? Are any of these UFO sightings valid? Can we take any of this seriously? As I grew older in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, it slowly became more mainstream, more common, and this amazing story from my hometown. I've always been intrigued by this Eisenhower tale. And in a story about it back from 1982, it mentioned Dr. J. Allen Hynek was also interested and quite aware of the story. He was one of the advisors to Steven Spielberg, who created the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind. And as we know, and maybe your listeners do, that was all about friendly alien landing at a Western Air Force base, at a desert base out in the American Southwest, I think it was. There was an exchange of people and aliens. And it had almost everything in it, including Air Force officials, except Eisenhower. So it makes you wonder if Hynek told Spielberg the story and he left out Eisenhower on purpose for security reasons, but somewhat told the tale.
You know, what's interesting about Hynek, when they were making the movie, and this comes from the person who wrote a biography of Hynek, they didn't just contact him out of the blue. He heard about the movie, Dr. Hynek, and contacted them. and I guess provide some technical advice. He had, of course, this very short cameo towards the end of the film, all of which he received a grand total of $3,500 for his efforts in a movie that made hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars. This is Hollywood for you. One thing about Dr. Hynek, towards the end of his life, he was leaning towards, shall we say, something beyond extraterrestrial as a possible origin point of UFOs, something almost four-dimensional or more.
Wow.
It's something he told me at the time. I should have pursued it more. I also should have had a copy of the cassette of the interview I did with Dr. Hynek, because it would have been great to have been able to run that thing on the show. This is back in the 1970s. I think 1975.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Okay, so I kind of wonder whether Hynek would have known much about the Eisenhower thing. It's not something he ever talked about. Of course, it may be there was security involved. But I certainly think, because of the fact that he took on a positive UFO attitude in the wake of the swamp gas debacle in Michigan back in the 60s, that he would have hinted at something, and he didn't.
Dr. Hynek was part of Project Blue Book and found out it was mostly a whitewash, that they investigated stories that could be more easily explained, and some of the juicier ones that could not be explained, they were not allowed to explore, so he quit. And he began his own private research, and the article in 82 said Dr. Hynek said he was aware of the Eisenhower story and wanted to know more. Spielberg spoke to him. That doesn't mean they necessarily connected on the Eisenhower story, but seems rather suspicious. Spielberg created his screenplay working with Jacques Vallée, who's still with us.
We have Paul and Gene and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Is your IRS tax problem ruining your life? Hi, I'm Ronnie Deutsch. Don't be another IRS victim, and please don't give up hope. Call me today and let's do something about it.
If you have tax problems, call Ronnie Lynn Deutsch, a professional tax corporation, at 800-515-4541. That's 800-515-4541 for your free and confidential tax analysis. That's 800-515-4541 for your free tax guide. Call Ronnie Deutsch's law firm and speak with them.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. Order now, because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
By the way, our special guest, Paul Blake Smith, will be hanging out for the After the Paracast podcast with extra discussions as part of the Paracast Plus subscription package. Let us continue here. So we're talking about the communications with Steven Spielberg, about Jacques Vallée, and of course the character in Close Encounters played by the famous French director was loosely based on Jacques Vallée.
Right. François Truffaut, the famous French director, seemed Correct. To kind of portray Jacques Vallée.
Except for the difference being that Jacques Vallée was fluent in English.
Yes, he is. I've done a podcast with him last summer. He's got an interesting story from 1945 during the war in New Mexico, but that's for another show. He can
promote. We had him on to talk about that book that he did with Paula Harris. The episode was broadcast with our guest co-host, Kurt Collins, and I want to have Dr. Vallée back on to talk about it. That case, though, is really a source of skepticism. I know that, for example, Kevin D. Randall, who has studied Roswell for 30 years, doesn't believe a word of it.
That is interesting. So is the evidence he talks about, but I don't know too much about the 45 case. I do know that Spielberg has almost like an obsession, nearly lifelong, and he's made alien-themed movies. I talked to a friend who knows a friend of Spielberg, and I said, do you think he'd like to do the Eisenhower story in a full-length motion picture? And they went to him, and he said, Steven says that he is out of the UFO business. He's kind of moved on from that. He'd rather do other types of movies. So a swing and a miss there. And certainly in E.T. the Extraterrestrial, there's this famous story that he took the movie to the White House and showed it to Ronald and Nancy Reagan and some astronauts and some cabinet members. And when it was over, the rumor was that President Reagan said, well, you don't know how true this is. And Spielberg refused to comment on that for many years. But a couple of years ago, he finally broke down and admitted that the story is true, that Reagan did say, you don't know how right this is, E.T. the Extraterrestrial. So that it's another clue if Mr. Spielberg is telling the truth. and that he said Reagan seemed pretty serious at the time, that we have presidents who know that we are being visited, they're briefed, and it's a case of, well, we just have to go about our business, you know.
Let's go back to President Truman, Eisenhower's predecessor. What do you think he knew about UFOs?
I think he probably knew about Cape Girardeau in the days or weeks afterwards. He was the Grand Master Freemason for the state of Missouri and lived in Cape Girardeau in 1906. He had constituents and friends there. He would campaign in Cape Girardeau over the years. And so by the time he became president, he was probably aware that we are being visited. But the Roswell business, if it is indeed valid, reinforced that. And he wanted it investigated, researched, but quietly, top secret stuff. And one of his top men was his Army Chief of Staff, Dwight Eisenhower. And so the two of them probably knew quite a bit from intelligence files and never discussed it with the public, maybe only with a handful of aides or just a couple of trusted military advisors. But Truman went on camera in the summer of 52. And you can see this on YouTube. The video still exists. And he says, oh, we've always had flying saucers and whatnot. And we've discussed this with the military at every conference we have. Really, if UFOs are just silly business, they don't exist, flying saucers are not real, why are you discussing it with your top military people at every conference? This is the commander-in-chief saying this on camera. So I think that tells you another clue that it was behind the scenes being taken very seriously.
I don't think there's doubt that they were taking it seriously. Its question is, what did they know? And they would have known a lot more if Roswell was what it seemed to be, and certainly this particular case was what it seemed to be. They would have known a lot more. But that brings me to another issue here, which is more modern. So we have the current UFO interest, and we'll get into that later on, the fact that the Pentagon is, once again, appears to be taking it seriously. It's in the 2022 military authorization to set up yet another group to look into the matter. And there are quotes from two former CIA directors, Woolsey and Brennan, both saying they'd like to have more information about it. And you have to think, wait a minute, folks, head of the CIA, access to all the top secret information they want. President Obama, access to anything he wants. Just say, give me that information because I'm president. I can declassify it if I want to. And he wants to know more about it. Why are these people, government officials, supposedly with the need to know, not in a position to know?
Well, they didn't say they don't know anything. They just said, we'd like more information. So I think it's more Pentagon or military control, people who run the Air Force in particular. And I don't think they're very cooperative. Their names don't show up on files of information released or some of these radar images or pilot footage of tic-tacs and such. The Air Force, I don't think, is really wanting anything out. The CIA director, as you point out, has a lot of information at his disposal. How curious he is and what he's allowed to look at by Department of Homeland Security and by the chief executive and his cabinet, I don't know. All I know is that Clinton, Bush, and Obama go on talk shows like Jimmy Kimmel and Stephen Colbert, and they won't give you a straight answer. They just make a joke. They pass it along well, I could tell you, but I'll have to kill you, ha, ha, ha. And that's a matter of national security. I think Obama said that one time. So by not giving a straight answer, do we have a straight answer?
Well, again, it comes back to what evidence they may possess. What bothers me, for example, about the current Pentagon investigations, and by the way, listeners, we're going to have this week Ralph Blumenthal, the former New York Times Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter, to talk about the story, of course, that he worked on with Leslie Kane and Helene Cooper on the Pentagon studies about why they ignored all the evidence of past cases. Like, everything started with the Tic Tac UFO encounters. But that's going to be on next week's episode. Also, Ralph wrote a book on the life of Dr. John Mack, the Harvard psychiatrist who investigated abductions. Let's get back to our guest, Paul Blake Smith. We're immersed in the conversation about his book, President Eisenhower's Close Encounters, and the ramifications thereof, that President Eisenhower met E.T. Talked to them? What? What did they know?
What they wanted, what the motive for the aliens was, they were aghast at our atomic bomb detonations that were sending radiation into the atmosphere. And I think they asked Eisenhower to please stop this, that they cared about planet Earth. That, according to, I think, the test pilot who was there. And I think that would be a decent enough motive to venture forward and to land and not get shot at or killed by a panicky Air Force officer or someone looking to make a name for himself, to step forward from the airship and meet with Air Force officials in a friendly manner, and to ask almost to the point of take us to your leader or have him taken to us. So Eisenhower spoke to him and apparently said, I'm not going to disarm unilaterally. I want to see other nations stop testing and stop developing weapons. I have a nation to defend. And he asked them, please don't show yourselves openly. Don't land like this. We can't have this. It would be a shock for our people, and it might cause a panic. So he reached some sort of agreement on that February 19th of 54 that the aliens would remain kind of at arm's length and visit here only in like rural settings and try to be discreet so that they would not upset our social order. This is what has been alleged, and it seems reasonably believable to me.
What about subsequent presidents?
I searched for this alleged agreement, this treaty that Eisenhower may have written up and signed with the aliens at some point. And I looked it up, and on my Google search engine, it said 10-year agreement. And I'm thinking, well, where did that come from? And I couldn't find anything more. So I looked up, and on the 10th anniversary exactly, Lyndon Johnson flew 2,700 miles to Palm Springs, met with Eisenhower, a few gaps in his schedule not recorded, and they had some private talks in Eisenhower's home, and something was odd going on. There were two Air Force Ones at the airport, reported the news people at the time.
We've got more to come with Paul, Gene, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and Save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.